Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Matthew chapter 15 for a few moments this evening. Matthew chapter number 15. This morning, we were considering, as we have been preaching through the gospel. By the way, we are going to be starting a new series on Sunday nights in just a few weeks. I'm going to be preaching in our Sunday nights on the Red Sea. And you may have seen that on the clips, the advertising clips on the PowerPoint this morning. The Red Sea rules. Now, that doesn't mean the Red Sea rules your life. If the Red Sea is ruling your life, that's not a good thing. That means you're under the pressure of being boxed in. The Red Sea rules speaks of the rules that we learn regarding how to live when you're boxed in between the devil and the deep Red Sea. And when God leads you down a blind alley and there's no place to go and no way out, what does God teach us in the blind alley that provide rules to live by? So we're going to be looking at some Red Sea rules on Sunday nights, beginning, I believe it is, thank you, December 20th is the kickoff of that series. Now, next Sunday night, let's see, next Sunday night we're going to be seeing the monumental film that is all about Thanksgiving and understanding how America got here and what was behind the formation of America. Phenomenal presentation of the pilgrims and why they came to America and what was behind the establishment of America. So we'll see that, Lord willing, next Sunday night. Sunday night after that, if I'm thinking correctly, is Thanksgiving. Is that right? Is that the next Sunday night? We don't have an evening service because we've been together all day having the big Thanksgiving afternoon. And so once we get all that out of the way, the Sunday night after that, we'll begin the Red Sea rules. Tonight, I want to just take this last Sunday night kind of in between all of this and just reflect a little bit back into the morning message, a little bit, some other thoughts coming out of the morning message. For those of you who weren't here in the morning service this morning, we're preaching through the Gospel of Luke. We're looking at the disciples right now. Jesus' choice of 12 men that are going to be entrusted with the kingdom of God on earth. And when Jesus is crucified, they're the ones who are going to take His gospel message and change the world. So, Jesus Christ, 24 months before His crucifixion, 2 years before His crucifixion, is at a strategic point. The religious leaders of Israel are wanting to kill Him and are looking for an opportunity to kill Him. Jesus is focused on getting a team of men ready to take over when He's crucified and to carry His kingdom with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world and change the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so He is picking out 12 men. And so the last two Sunday mornings we've been preaching about His choice of those 12 men. Now this morning I commented that Jesus was 24 months out from the time He was going to be gone. He wasn't going to be there anymore. Who's going to take over? Who's going to step into His place? Who's going to be the ones who will carry the kingdom of God forward when Jesus is out of the picture? Now, at that point, I drew a little of an analogy. I said, I'm 62 or 63. It's as if I said, in 2 years, I'm going to be out of here, and who's going to take over? And I don't know exactly how I said it, but that analogy was somebody thought that meant I was resigning in 2 years. In 2 years, I'm going to be out of here. They got so excited. They thought, only 2 more years, and we're going to be free of this guy finally. And no, seriously, that's not what they said. But anyway, I don't know if you'll get rid of me in 2 years or not, but unless the Lord comes back, I'm still going to be hanging around beyond that. But Jesus Christ is at that strategic point. By the way, do pray. I pray. Regularly regarding future leadership. I am going to be 63 years of age in just a few months. I know that we're getting into that time frame where CBC needs to have young leadership being mentored and coming into the work of the ministry who can carry the ball down the road. And I don't know how long that overlap's going to be. I don't know who that person's going to be, but I pray about that and seek God's direction. And we're looking forward to what God's going to do. But whatever that is going to happen, short of God, Jesus Christ coming back, I think you're stuck with me for a lot longer than 2 years. But anyway, be that as it may, There we go. And so Jesus Christ has got 24 months. So he chose the 12. We looked at that this morning. Phenomenal truths of the Word of God about those 12 men. I don't know about you, but I'm relieved. I look at those 12 guys and I think, whew, God can even use me. And they were a motley group, a messed up group of guys. But Jesus Christ did amazing things through those individuals. We talked about that this morning and how that God chose that, chose those 12 men. We talked about the strategic work that was in front of them to be the men that Jesus Christ was going to leave in charge of the kingdom of God on earth. And then for those men to carry that torch forward. We talked about how that now 24 months out, Jesus Christ handpicks these 24 men. And they become full-time learners of Jesus Christ. They're with Him 24/7. They are spending enormous amounts of time with Him. They are listening to what Jesus preached. Wouldn't this be cool to be able to sit and listen to Jesus preach and then go home to dinner with Him? Be able to ask Him questions about what He preached? Why did you make that point? You remember that sermon He preached about eating His body and drinking His blood? And the people said, oh, and I can see the disciples now. Oh, no, not that sermon again. Last time you preached that sermon, we lost 10 families. And so they got to go with Jesus home afterwards, and they got to talk to Jesus Christ about what He said, what He preached, why He said what He said, why He did what He did. I mean, this is amazing. They get to spend 24/7 with Jesus Christ. They listen to Him in public. They ask Him questions in private. He sends them on assignments, and then He meets with them afterwards to school them on what they did wrong and what they did right and what they need to do. He encouraged them. He corrected them. He instructed them. He mentored them for 24 amazing months. Wow. What a concept. What a thought that Jesus Christ did this with these 12 men. You see, mentoring is not mere education. It's life being poured into life. Mentoring is not textbook. It's experience. It's life. It's emotions. It's brokenness. It's understanding. It's why. Mentoring is a lot more than learning a set of doctrinal truths. It's getting down into the trenches and fleshing it out with Jesus Christ and seeing what made Him tick and why He did what He did. This was amazing. 24 months that Jesus Christ spent with these men, pouring His life into them. There's a passage in front of us. In fact, the next passage that's going to come up on Sunday morning, it's going to be the verses right after what we preached on this morning about these 12 guys. And immediately after choosing them, He came down off from the place on the mountain that they were on to a plateau in the mountains that lead down to the Sea of Galilee there just outside of Capernaum. And they come down and a crowd of people gather, a huge crowd of people gather. They come from Judea. They come from all over Galilee. They even come down from Tyre and Sidon. I mean, they're from everywhere. And they've heard about Jesus. They have needs. Some of them are sick and He heals them. Some of them are vexed with spirits and He casts the demons out of them and heals them. And people are so enthralled with Jesus. This is right after He handpicked the 12 men. And then they come down a little bit off from the mountain that they were on. And all these people are thronging around Jesus. They're crowding around Jesus. The Bible says they touched Him. And here's one of the places in the Bible where it says, and virtue went out of Him. I'm thinking about that phrase. I'm meditating on that phrase. I'm thinking about, and I'm comparing some other passages of Scripture. Ministry is life leaving you for another person. Life is pouring your soul into another person. Life is virtue going out of you. Remember, Paul told the church at Thessalonica, I didn't just give you the gospel. I gave you my own soul also. Wow, what a concept. The cost of ministry. Of what you give up of your own self in order to help somebody else. Well, I'm still thinking about that. That's coming on a Sunday morning, the next one in the series. And then after that experience, and I think God puts it in there. Right after that, Jesus then preaches the Sermon on the Mount. And right in between choosing the apostles and preaching the Sermon on the Mount, this is on a financial seminar, the Sermon on the Mount, right between those is this one little couple of verses that says it cost Jesus to minister to people. It cost him. So we'll be thinking about that, and then we'll go into the Sermon on the Mount and see how Jesus Christ shaped the thinking of these individuals, shaped their view of morality, shaped their understanding of the purpose of God. Sermon on the Mount, major sermon, preparing these disciples, kind of summarizing what Jesus Christ had to get into the lives of these 12 guys that were so messed up that he is going to mentor into a first string to carry the kingdom of God forward. Now, this mentoring time is going to be difficult. And here's the thought I want to leave you with tonight, kind of wrapping up this morning. This is going to be difficult. This time of mentoring these 12 men, we went through the 12 men this morning. We saw the personality differences and the political differences and the character differences. This was a motley crew of raw material. And for Jesus Christ to endure them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to endure these knuckleheads, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult as Jesus pours his life into those people. Say, why would you say that, Pastor? Well, let's look at some verses of Scripture. Did you turn over to Matthew 15? There's a couple of passages of Scripture I just want to read with you. I want you to see Jesus' reaction to the 12 apostles. I want you to get a feel for what is the difficulty of Jesus' task of mentoring these 12 men for 24 months. Matthew chapter 15, and look at verse number 15. Matthew 15, verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Jesus, we don't get it. We don't know what you're trying to say. You told us a parable and we don't understand it. Would you explain to us this parable? Look how Jesus responded. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? You know, if I was Peter there and I said, now Jesus, I just can't get this one. Tell me, what does that mean? And Jesus looks back at me and he said, for crying out loud, after all this time and you yet don't understand that parable? I mean, I feel kind of, I'd crawl away with my tail tucked between my legs like a little puppy dog, you know. I'd feel really put down. Get a feel for the task that Jesus is engaged in as he takes the raw material of these 12 apostles and as he spends 24 months, day in and day out, working with these men, trying to get them in shape to entrust the kingdom of God to them when he leaves. Are ye yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in the mouth goeth into the belly and casteth out? Don't you understand, Peter? Look at chapter 16, verse number 9. Chapter 16, verse number 9, Jesus said, do ye not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves, the 5,000, and how many? Don't you remember what I did before? Have you forgotten already? What's wrong with you? Can't you remember what happened last week down there at that other place? This is Jesus talking. He's talking to the 12. He's frustrated. Humanly speaking, he's frustrated with the denseness, the knuckleheaded nature, the hard-headed nature of these 12 apostles that just don't get it. He tells them over and over again, he can't get through to them. They ask questions about what they should have learned in the other place, but they don't remember anymore. And Jesus says, don't you understand? Are you yet without understanding? Come over to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John's got one of my really interesting statement in it. And it really speaks of what was going on in the entire you know, with the bigger band of disciples, more so than just the 12, but it kind of shows what's going on here. And this is the place where Jesus had talked about eating his bread and drinking his blood. And after, you know, preaching the sermon on eating his flesh and drinking his blood in John chapter 6, look at verse number 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum, many therefore of his disciples. Now this isn't talking about the 12. This is the followers. This is that crowd of people that are following Jesus wherever he goes. Some of them are saved. Some of them are just listening and trying to determine whether or not they believe he's the Messiah. These are the followers. These are the learners that have the, Jesus has their ear. And many of these people, when they heard this sermon was too much. This was over the top. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood. When they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? And so here's the setting. He's preached this really hard sermon. And a lot of the people that are following him, that are listening to him, this is hard. I don't know if I can bear this. And so come down to verse 64. Verse 64, Jesus says, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. He knew from the beginning what Judas was going to do. He said, therefore saith I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. No one comes to Jesus Christ that God's not involved. Jesus said, you'd lift me up, I'll draw all men unto myself. God's always involved in bringing people to Christ. And Jesus Christ said, or the Bible says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I mean, Jesus preached a sermon, and a crowd of people left, and they said, we're not going to go hear him anymore. I don't like his preaching. That's too hard. That's too hard. That's a hard sermon to listen to. And many of them went back. So many people left of the crowd of people that came and heard him preach. So many people left that Jesus Christ said to the 12, look at verse number 67. Verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? These guys that he's trying to mentor, these guys that just don't get it time and time again, these guys that, and he looks at them and says, guys, are you leaving too? Are you quitting? Are you leaving? And Simon Peter said, Lord, if we left you, where would we go? You're the one with the message of eternal life. If we left you, where would we go? We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Great statement. But I'm interested in Jesus' question to the 12. Will you go away also? You see, this thing of mentoring, this thing of impacting people, this thing of training people, this thing of getting into the lives of people and pouring yourselves into people, this thing of taking the raw material and changing their lives into the kind of dynamic men that we ended the message with this morning, that gave their lives for the cause of Christ. This thing of mentoring these men was hard work. Hard work. Come over to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse number 14. This is Jesus Christ after his resurrection. The 12 have now become the 11. Because of Judas Iscariot. Mark 16, verse number 14. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. This is after 24 months of mentoring. This is after all the work that Jesus poured into these guys for 24 months, for 2 years. He upbraided them. He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not that which they had because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Here's Jesus with these 11 disciples left, these apostles, after he had risen from the grave. And Jesus Christ upbraids them because even after 24 months of one-on-one, 24/7 mentoring. Jesus said, you don't believe and you're hard-hearted. And he upbraided them. See, what I want you to, the simple thought I want you to raise from your mind tonight is this work of mentoring people is tough stuff. It's hard work. Because people are hard-headed. People are stubborn. People can hear the same thing over and over again, but yet not get it. People struggle to understand. And in a best seminary, Jesus Christ, classes meeting every day, 7 days a week. In the best school, with the best teacher, with a very close personal relationship that was every day with the teacher. After 2 years, he said, you are hard-hearted and you don't believe. You flunk. This is hard work, mentoring people. This is hard work, bringing change in people's life where they can become the great apostles who can be sent out with the credentials of the sender to carry the kingdom of God to the ends of the earth. So what we're seeing Jesus Christ as he's entering this stage of mentoring, we're seeing Jesus tackling a difficult project, taking 12 men and bringing change into their lives. Let me get you to turn over. We'll close here over in 2 Timothy. Not only did Jesus have the struggle of working with the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, but we can fast forward beyond Jesus and the 12 apostles, and we can go to the life and ministry of the apostle Paul with his apostles, Titus and Timothy. And here, particularly dealing with Timothy, we see that this was a challenge for Paul as well. Paul says to Timothy, Paul has a wonderful relationship with Timothy. He loves Timothy, just like Jesus loved the 12 apostles. Paul said to Timothy in chapter 1 in verse number 3, that's 2 Timothy 1:3, he said, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. He said, Timothy, I pray for you every day. I pray for you in the daytime. I pray for you at night. You're so meaningful to me. Greatly desired to see thee. I'd love to see you. Mindful of thy tears. I know that you want to see me so desperately. You're over there and I'm over here in Rome and you want to see me and I want to see you. And you cry because you want to be with me. And I'm mindful of your tears and I want to see you and to be able that I may be filled with joy from our embrace and our time together. Timothy, you're so important to me. We got a mentoring relationship. Timothy, I remember your mom and I remember your grandma. And I remember their unfeigned faith. They're unhypocritical. They're unsullied. They're untarnished faith. I remember how they walked with God and they knew God. And your grandma and your mom taught you how to walk with God. I know you're a multi-generational man that I got to lead to Christ and I mentored you in the faith. And now you're my preacher boy. And Timothy, I want to see you and I know you want to see me. I want to stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Timothy, what are you afraid of? Timothy, why are you having a hard time? Timothy, I've taught you better than this. Timothy, I've taught you to stand strong regardless of the opposition. I mentored you to stay true to God in the midst of the apostasy around you. I've trained you to do right when everyone else is doing wrong. Timothy, I carefully mentored you and taught you and trained you. You traveled with me on the mission team. You went with me everywhere I went, just like the apostles went with Jesus everywhere he went. Paul poured his life into Timothy. He called him my own son in the faith. They spent day after day, week after week, year after year together. He had mentored Timothy. And now, as Paul is getting ready to die in Rome, in imprisonment, he's writing his last letter to Timothy. And he says, Timothy, he says, I want to see you because I want to stir up the gift of God that is in you. It's like the campfire and the fire's burnt down. And you don't see any glow off the embers. And it looks like it's only ash. And Timothy, you're going out. Timothy, you're failing. Timothy, you're not hot for God anymore. Timothy, you've gotten worried about the future. You're afraid about the future. You don't like the problems around you. You have a hard time standing up against the apostasy. Timothy, what's wrong? You have a multi-generational background. I love you. You're my own son in the faith. Timothy, I wish I could see you so I could stir up the embers so that you could blaze forth in red hot devotion for God once again. God didn't give you a spirit of timidity, of fear, of cowardice. What's wrong with you, Timothy? You see, what's going on is that Timothy's not cutting it. And this thing of mentoring people's hard work, this thing of mentoring people's got a lot of disappointments in it. That's why Paul would say, these are the only ones left that are standing with me. And you see that. We've seen that. We saw at the end of the book of Colossians how that Paul was concerned that there weren't more people that were standing true at the end of his life. Mentoring people is hard work. It can be disappointing. You have a lot of setbacks. You pour your own soul into someone and then they turn around and they do the wrong thing. And you say, what's going on? And Paul said, Timothy, you're going out on me. I don't see any fire coming from you. I don't feel any heat coming from you. What's wrong, Timothy? Wish I could come and see you. Wish I could stir you up again. God didn't give you that spirit. He gave you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy, that's what God gave you. Where is it? You see, Paul was struggling with the same thing Jesus struggled with for 24 months, with a bunch of knuckleheads that he poured his soul into their lives. And then he would look at him and say, you don't understand yet? What is with you? Mentoring people's hard work. Mentoring people takes a lot of time and energy and devotion and commitment. It doesn't always turn out the way you want it to. There's casualties along the way. And the Apostle Paul in this closing letter is trying to keep Timothy from being a casualty. And so he gives Timothy four charges. You remember what they are? I've preached on them before from 2 Timothy. He said in chapter 1 in verse number 8, he said, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Charge number 1, don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Whew. That's an important charge, isn't it? In a day of being fearful and being a little shy and embarrassed and everything's around me is apostate and going the wrong way and I'm just too embarrassed to speak up and stand up. I'm timid and shy. And Paul says, Timothy, what in the world is going on? Stand up on your back feet. Do you have back feet? Stand up on your hind legs and stand up for Jesus Christ and don't be ashamed. Second charge, chapter 2, verse 1, be strong. Be strong. Timothy, be strong as a leader. Now, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then he explained what that strength is. He talked about enduring hardship, gave some illustrations, some amazing statements that he made, saying to Timothy, Timothy, be strong. His third challenge to Timothy in his last letter is chapter 3. They follow the chapters. The chapters are arranged around the four charges to Timothy. Be not ashamed. Be strong. In chapter 3, it's withstand apostasy. Withstand apostasy. Apostasy will become widespread in your life. So many will dip the colors. So many will renounce the faith. So many will go the wrong way. I'm telling you, stand against apostasy. He encouraged Timothy to stand against. You see that throughout the chapter, but if you wanted to hang it on one verse, you could hang it on, where'd that verse go? Verse number 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power therefrom, such turn away. Turn away from apostasy. And then his final charge in chapter 4, he said, Timothy, preach the word. Instant, in season, out of season. When it's popular, when it's not. When people want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it. Preach the word. That's what Paul said in his last ditch effort before he was executed. His last ditch effort to save a struggling guy that he was mentoring. To be able to reach one more time into his life and say, don't quit, don't give up, don't get timid and shy, don't back down. And he says to him, I wish I could come and visit you, put my arms around you. I know you're crying. I know that I'm your father in the faith. I know that I'm the old preacher. You know, some young preachers look up to older preachers. And then all of a sudden, they wake up to find out that they're the older preacher. And all the older ones are dead and gone. A lot of my heroes are gone. G.B. Vick's gone. Noel Smith's gone. A lot of my heroes are gone. They're long since dead and gone. I'm the old man now. And that's what Timothy was feeling. Paul's going to die. When I hung around Paul, I felt more bold. When I hung around Paul, I thought I could do it. When I hung around Paul, I got power from Paul. I got strength from Paul. He was he put steel on my backbone. When Paul was around, I could stand up and preach better. But Paul's going to die. I'm not going to have Paul anymore. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I got the guts to stand up like Paul did. And so Paul's last effort to save a guy that was losing it. He said, I wish I could come and see you. I wish I could give you my strength one more time. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to die. So all I can do is tell you, don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Stand up and be strong. Fight against the apostasy that's ruining Christianity. And preach the word when it's popular and when it's not. Mentoring people is a lot of hard work. God help us to influence people in our generation. Because if Christ doesn't tarry his coming, if he does tarry his coming, if he doesn't come back right real soon, the next generation of preachers has got to have a lot of guts. They've got to have a lot of backbone. They've got to have a lot of boldness if they're going to preach the truth to the America that is shaping up in front of our eyes. We've got to mentor them. We've got to get them ready. So that when we're gone, they'll be able to do what needs to be done.